Even the words that all the times we use, even the words that we have in the vision, these beautiful words that we're going to unpack. And I think that the words that he uses, righteousness, salvation, redemption, atonement, all of these words all come together as a beautiful thing. And it all comes back to this theme, constantly playing this theme. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who would believe. To the Jew first, held accountable for every thought, word, and deed. To be guilty, if we are guilty before God, then the solution must be what? To be found not guilty. Same with the law thing. Paul will do that throughout chapter 3. It's kind of a what he borrows, word that he borrows from the law courts, which, by the way, are completely inadequate without what now, without other words, but we're going to get into that. So he says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets. You would think that, but now there would be something about not guilty, something about innocence, something about not being condemned. But he introduces us to a new word. Apart from the law, the what? Righteousness. We've heard this before, back in the theme. The power of the gospel, he said, is for everyone, that is the power of salvation for everyone who believes, and in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. He brings up that word again, righteousness, but it doesn't seem to have anything to do with the other. See, the goal of anyone on trial would be to be found what? To be found innocent. Not wrong under the law, but right under the law. If you and I are on trial, that's what we would want to happen to us. The jury of our peers comes down to the verdict that says what? Not guilty, that's what we would want, but this verse doesn't seem to have anything to do with that. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with it all, but all he wants to talk about is what? Righteousness. Righteousness. Specifically, who's righteous? God's righteousness, he says. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, it's been revealed, it's been attested by the law and the prophets. So as long as he's going to read the word out, let's learn all about it that we can. And hopefully, They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 24 says, they are now justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Finally, justified. Finally, the fortune we've been looking for. To be justified, to be found not guilty, to be found innocent. Finally, the one we are looking for. Verse 20 says that it was not by the works of the law, and how? By His grace as a gift. Whose grace? God's grace through the redemption that is in who? That is in Christ Jesus. Verse 22 says we get this faith by righteousness. By how? By faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says we are justified by His grace by faith in who? In Jesus Christ. The two terms are finally put together. What makes the good news, but the bad news, the good news, is it has something to do with God's righteousness, and we become justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, He tells us how. He tells us how. Because there's a lot there, right? That's a ton of words right there. Those words weigh a ton. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is given to come in. All who will what? Who will believe? For there is no distinction. Remember, the problem and the bad news was that it was universal. Right? All stand before God condemned. All stand before God as sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. For there is no distinction between people. It's a universal problem. There is no one that doesn't have this problem. You and I are absolutely part and parcel of the bad news. So the solution, number one, is a universal solution. God's righteousness comes for all who would what? Believe. All who would simply believe. And they are justified by His grace. It's a gift of redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now here, in unpacking this, it's hard to do it. And this is the problem with it. Is that in English, it doesn't sound right. In English, being justified and God's righteousness doesn't come together in the language because we don't have English words the way that they have Greek words. So we got to dig in here. You ready? Let's dig in and dig in hard and dig in deep because there's a ton to be unpacked between being justified, being found right, if you will, and God's righteousness, how it comes together. Look at verse 25. Okay? Jesus Christ, this is how it is in verse 24, they are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom, so who is he talking about? Whom God put forward. So God, Christ Jesus has been put forward. This is who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice and atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness. Remember, His righteousness has been what? It's been revealed. It's been attested to. And somehow it's been revealed and attested to through Christ Jesus. He did this to show His righteousness because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over the sins previously committed. Alright? The first word that you run up against, and some of you have translations that I think are very hard for you, is they use words like propitiation and expiation. How many have a version that says that? Okay? Mine says a sacrifice of atonement. That's a good word too, but it's big, it's heavy, right? I mean, you really know what propitiation and expiation mean. Just one of those terms, that's what I'm saying, these words that we have to unpack. Now, let me help you out. In Greek, it's much, much simpler. In Greek, the word is philaxerion, and simply means mercy. The covering of the ark. That's literally the word Paul uses here. He uses the word philaxerion. The covering of the ark, a simply believing in Him. And why did God do it? To show His what? To show His righteousness. To reveal it. Remember, we know that God's righteousness has been when? What? Revealed. It's been put forth. We've seen it. And where did we see it?
The third one, the Kaya Sunin, all with the
See, when we're left with terms like justification, we separate them up. And human justification doesn't cut it when it comes to this. We fall short. The word justification falls as short as we do when we want to be justified. If somebody steals and they go to prison and they get out, they are now what? An ex-what? An ex-convict. They're going to carry that with them for the rest of their lives, no matter what happens in their life from now on. That's what they'll be called. And if you think it's not serious, take a look at a job application. As far as we need to know, let's not steal from you. And I feel sorry about it. I come back and hand it to you. And you, being a Christian, forgive me. I'm now a forgiven one. Thief. In some cases, just being accused and not even acquitted carries a non-justifying sentence with it, does it not? So, to justify what God knows is not merely forgiving. To justify what God is not merely pronouncing somebody non-guilty. You got to get this. To justify what God is as if we had never, ever sinned. He doesn't give us a watered-down version or a human version of righteousness. It's His righteousness. He makes it right. He justifies it. He makes it right by giving His righteousness, the only righteousness there is. We must realize that what Paul is telling us is that God is not satisfied with just waiting on our sins and rendering the guilty verdict of not guilty. He could have done that, couldn't he? He could have sat on his throne and said, just kidding about being justified. Forget about it. Offer me all your sins. Don't worry about it at all. Couldn't he have done that if he wanted to? You bet he could. He's God. But He renders His righteousness not by pronouncement, but by making it right. He produces the righteousness, if you will. He took our sins and He cast them on Jesus. And He took His righteousness and put it on us. It's about being made right. Not being pronounced right. Do you like this? is the channel from which righteousness comes to us. It's the agent that it's made for. Why pray? Because if it wasn't, there'd be a big problem. Because then it would be based on works from where? Prescribed by the law. And then I treat this verse on purpose, but actually, I don't have it there. Okay? Or did I? Nope. I don't have it there. I'm sorry. But I take verse 27 that says, what becomes a boasting? It's excluded. By what law? By what works? No, by the law of faith. If it was, if our righteousness was a reward for our faith, in other words, if the works came by law, then some of us would have a reason to boast. Somebody would have their mouths going right now in chapter 3, verse 18. We have to make it by faith because we don't even have any of that. That's why there is no distinction. And the fact that I fall short cannot keep me from obtaining God's righteousness. The only thing that can keep me from obtaining God's righteousness is not to believe that He is. In 1 Peter, we spent a lot of time in John chapter 2. He said, those who don't believe are condemned already. Actually, it's 3, those who don't believe are condemned already. What he does in our class was that he didn't condemn people for their sin. He condemned them for their unbelief. See, if not by faith, the religious folks, the second, the good sinners, the sinners who don't see their sins as bad as the first one, they would have something to boast about. They would think that they are good. But the good news isn't for good people. It's for bad people. Romans 5, we begin here, will tell this, but God proves His love for us that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely than now that we've been justified by His blood, will we be saved through Him from the wrath of God. For we made one tiny effort to work ourselves towards it. He proclaimed it done. Jesus said it was finished. God says, I've provided you with my righteousness, a perfect atonement. And by the way, if I did it when you didn't believe in me, don't you think I'll still do it when you do believe in me? But why is it that we think that when we come to believe in Him, that now it doesn't belong to us because we're sinners? When it was never based on whether or not we were sinners in the first place. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. By human logic, he would have went, look at the cross there, look at my son. When you get your act together, he's going to pop up there and be nailed to it. That's the way we think it happened. How many times in our lives have we actually felt like it? How many times in our lives have we come running to God and said, you know what, God, I feel so good today because I'm right with you? Doesn't matter whether or not we feel like it. It's by faith. It's believing what He's done. reality